Hey everybody, it's Kit, and I wanted to give you a content warning about this week's show. My theme this week is how we can live our authentic lives and why we should still do that even at a time like now where it could be very difficult and possibly dangerous. There's no way to do this conversation without touching on current political aspects of our lives. And so I just wanted to say, hey, if you're not in a space where you can listen to that right now, I completely understand and give you a heads up. My focus is going to be on us and our lives and authenticity, and as well as maybe some ways that we can find some hope or some joy during these tough times. But just wanted to give you a quick heads up. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to Feathermane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. I'm recording this podcast on December 29th, 2024. And in about 20 days, the world here in the United States is going to change. And there's been a lot publicized about how it might change and what threats communities like the trans community, the disabled community, the neurodivergent community might be facing. And to be honest, other than my lived experience within those communities, I'm not qualified to talk about the political landscape. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what may or may not happen and what I should do. But the one question that has been in my mind, and the question that I'm sure is on many of your minds as well, is why should we be our full embodied authentic selves in a world where that might be dangerous for us? And so that's what I want to talk about in this week's show. So normally this is the point in the show where I say, hi, I'm Kit Kailstow, your host for the Feathermane Soul Wisdom podcast. Thanks for listening this week. And then because we've just come back from the introduction little music. But because of the content warning, I just wanted to put that music there to give people a safe space to check out if they needed to. I also want to say that if you are in a position where you are making choices to keep your authentic self hidden, I will be talking about that in future podcasts and future writings on my blog. And so I don't want you to provide any judgment on yourself. Do not feel any shame. Do not feel any regret. That there are places and times in our lives where we may deem that it is safer to not be our authentic selves, or as I like to put it, let people assume things because of their hetero cis centric worldview. And so I just want to say, however you are approaching the upcoming year, however you are approaching the future, I understand, and I'm here for support. And this show is being recorded on December 29th. It's going to probably air, I'm guessing, I haven't looked at my calendar yet, but probably mid-February. And so by that time, I am seriously hoping to have some community spaces that are not on corporate-owned social media platforms. So that way we can maybe connect, get together virtually, and share some mutual support and some mutual care. So with that being said, I just kind of wanted to dive right into the topic because I'm sure, like most of you, my thoughts have been all over the place. I have been trying to be, you know, the beacon of light, to be my higher, better self. I have been trying to put out into the world what I want to put out into the world as far as, you know, joy and optimism and hopefulness. But I can't do that in a way that also denies our current reality. And I'm going to be kind of blunt here. And while I sincerely hope that there are systems and people in place that will prevent the worst of things happening. Or as somebody told me, that the incompetence of the current administration will stop certain harmful policies from happening. The truth of the matter is, as a neurodivergent person, and I'm sure you guys also feel that as well, we are often the mythical figure of Cassandra, who gives prophecies that nobody listens to, and then we have to watch while they come true. And I felt that way as a member of the disabled, chronically ill community around COVID, around some things that happened with long COVID, around things that happened with public health. I have felt that way watching the news lately. My spouse can tell you, you know, there's been times when I have yelled at the TV, "Have you people not been paying attention? Why are you still surprised at all of this?" So I don't want to be I don't want to give in to defeat or despair or doom, because I do believe that little actions can create big waves. And so I do believe that we have to still keep working for the best possible outcome. I actually read that in a newsletter I got from somebody I follow today, and I thought that was just beautiful, that we have to hope for the best possible outcome. And while working towards that, while also being aware of what else can happen. And so that, I believe, ties into my thoughts today about why we should be our authentic selves, live our authentic selves. And the first reason for that is, I guess, kind of comes from a defiant place, which is, we are not responsible for other people's thoughts or opinions about us, or about anything, really. I talked about it last week. As long as we are, you know, putting good out into the world, as long as we are not actively trying to harm people, we're human, we'll make mistakes, we will hurt feelings. But as long as we are not actively trying to perpetuate harm on other people or push harmful policies, I feel like what other people think of us is kind of their problem. And if they choose to be ignorant, and if they choose to not educate themselves or to listen to lies, we can certainly, speak our truth, but we also don't have to accept their worldview either. And so because of that, there's a part of me that says, and I'm thinking about this in terms of my writing, in terms of, presenting my real self, in terms of how, what name I go by, that sort of thing, that the truth is, they're going to not like what I write, or they're going to not like what I do regardless. And so why should I pull back or cut myself off from something that I love and that really makes me feel good and reminds me of my true self, just because other people find it bad? And again, I'm speaking in generalities. Me living my life, me writing my fantasy stories or the romance novels I write, that's not hurting anybody. And likewise, if you do costuming or cosplay or gaming, or if you're, online, if you're in different communities, you enjoying the things that you're enjoying, you enjoying your friends, your community around you, just living your life is not hurting anybody. And so, why let them take that away from you? The second part is, and maybe this is a little bit of age-related wisdom, but as somebody who is finally untangling and creating restoration with those stories that I grew up with, that I was told about myself, that I internalized, even though they were so very not right, finally having a language and a vocabulary for how I saw myself and how I exist in the world and how my brain works has been so powerful that I don't want to take a step back personally and deny that part of myself. I don't want to go back to a place where I feel like I can't do anything right because my brain works differently. Or I feel like it's always my fault because that's what I have been gaslit to believe. And so I feel like the two points that I've made have kind of come together in that, one, you know, if they're going to hate you anyway, and going back causes harm, in the interest of ahisma or the principle of nonviolence, don't do that violence to yourself by voluntarily complying. To use Timothy Snyder's terms, you know, to comply in advance. Don't comply in advance just because it pisses somebody off that you are out there living your life. The other thing I feel like is it ties into that hoping and working towards the best possible outcome. The truth is that there have been these struggles pretty much as long as America has been a country. Now, I'm going to tell you that there are other people that you can listen to about these struggles who know much more than I do. I am a white person who grew up in a small Midwestern town, and even though I try to listen online and pay attention to communities of color, there are things, you know, I can't remember, 2-3 years ago, MSNBC did a special on the Tulsa massacre. And I, you know, my spouse and I both looked at each other and said, we didn't learn about this in school. So I don't want to presume to speak for anybody. But America as a country has long tried to dictate the people that it did or did not want to accept into its communities and into its society. And this happened, you know, today happens to be an anniversary of Wounded Knee. One of the things we learned about in religious studies group class is that they're really, the reason why we didn't see a lot of Asian religions in the U.S. wasn't until the 60s, because it had to do with immigration laws. And so while we had a Indian guru talk about yoga at a very early parliament of religions, that didn't, you know, trickle out beyond much closed circles until the 1960s and much more world travel and a change in the immigration laws. And so America has always tried to, I don't want to use the term police, but tried to dictate basically who was culturally and socially accepted and who wasn't. And so our fight now as the trans community, our fight now as neurodivergence, autism acceptance, the fight against applied behavior analysis, the disability community, the fight that, you know, we are in to try to get, you know, an understanding that disability payments from the government is poverty, and that there's many people like myself who are disabled, who it is physically harming us to work. But we can't, you know, wait 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, without an income. We can't live on sunlight and air like a plant until the government gets its act together. So there's a lot that needs to happen. There's a lot of these fights. We are not the first people to have this fight, and I'm afraid we're not going to be the last either. There will always be forces that are resistant to change and acceptance. And if I want to work for a best possible outcome, then I want to, you know, embrace diversity. I want to embrace equality. I want to embrace restorative justice. I want to embrace the liberation movements. One of the reasons why I really am enjoying studying religious liberation movements is because it presents such a different picture than the, you know, right-wing Christian nationalists, the evangelicals. And where I live, boy, it's very much megachurch evangelical country, that it presents a, you know, the religious liberation movements present a different picture to that, which people commonly think about when they think about religion or organized religion in general. So there's a lot that goes into this, and I, if it feels like I'm having a hard time finding my words for this episode, I kind of am, in part because I want to hug you all and tell you all that we're going to get through this. You know, as the bumper sticker says, it may pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. We will get through this. We will come through the other side. But as somebody who lives where I live in the country and who knows who my neighbors are and who my neighbors voted for, I also know that there's a lot of fear out there. And part of that fear is to hide. That's a natural response to fear. And so when we think about why we should be our authentic selves, we, you know, the question is, well, why shouldn't we just hide to get through this? And like I said at the start of the show, if you feel safer hiding, if there are areas of your life where you are more protected and comfortable letting people assume whatever the hell they want to assume, remembering that, you know, when you assume, you make an ass out of yourself, and that's on them. But if there's part of your life that does that, you know, that does that, there's no shame. There's no shame, no judgment. You do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. But I do feel like, especially if it's going to do more harm to your health, if it's going to do more harm to your mental health, your physical health, your sense of self, your sense of well-being, then be your authentic self and be loud and be proud and show them that we're not going out without a fight. Because if there's one thing that I know that this journey has taught me, and that is, once you find your calling, once you find your purpose in life, once you find your authentic self, it is really hard, if not impossible, to put that genie back into the bottle. Like that, and this is something that I have been thinking about so much in 2024. Because on a personal level, you know, with pursuing my master's degree, I have found my calling. I have found the work that I want to do. I founded an organization. It's, you know, I'm not going to talk about it too much here, but it's linked in the Feather Mane Soul website. I founded, you know, I rebranded Chicken Yogi to Feather Mane Soul to really connect with people. And I thought, you know, sure, there are things that I could do that would probably be better choices economically for my spouse and I, that would probably ease some of the worry that I have. But the truth is, if I did those, they would be soul crushing, because it would involve, you know, going to work for a mindless job 40 hours a week, working with people who probably didn't accept me as neurodivergent, because being a neurodivergent, undiagnosed person in the workplace for 40 plus years is what's given me post-traumatic stress disorder. And so going to work full time with all of that would be actually more dangerous to me, to my physical health, to my mental health, than me pushing forward with my authentic self. And so, I know I'm not alone. I mean, I'm sharing my story, and I hope that, you know, it helps you see that you're not alone. But I also think it's just important to know that once you've discovered things about yourself, it is really hard to ignore them. It becomes like, you know, a little raised bump or something, like on a desk or a table, that you have this little raised bump that you keep running your fingers over going, that's not right. That's a bump. That's a blemish. It fills your mind. And, you know, obviously whatever truths you find out about yourself is not a bump, is not a blemish. But it is something that is going to constantly be in your awareness. And one of the things that I believe helps prevent burnout is getting rid of the dissonance in your life. I talked about this a lot, actually, as Chicken Yogi. It'll probably be in the archives that I am still working on bringing back over as of the recording of this podcast. And when you have dissonance in your life, when you have an incongruency between who you are and what you're doing, or who you are and what face you're presenting to the world, that causes extra stress and extra friction. Some of that gets into minority stress that I've talked about before. Some of that gets into, as a neurodivergent person, it takes us extra time, extra energy, extra brain processing power to do certain things in our lives, and, you know, so reading social cues. A lot of times we're getting so much input that it's hard to filter through all that, and it's very exhausting. Well, when you add that incongruence onto it, it can be like, you know, that an ache or pain. Some days you have an ache or a pain that it's like a little red flashing light in the back of your brain. You know, my knee hurts, my knee hurts, my knee hurts. And it just keeps, that's what that incongruence in your life is like. And so that extra energy and extra focus and extra time dealing with that causes mental and physical, you know, issues. That causes health concerns, that causes mental health concerns. That also kind of takes up all your processing so that you can't focus on other things. And that's why we get burnt out. That's why we get stressed out. And so if, you know, working towards being our authentic selves, unmasking, being fully embodied, recognizing that we are divine humans, worthy of love, worthy of respect, worthy of food and shelter and medical care, and having our needs met and existing as divine spiritual beings. Because when you think about it, even if you think about it on a purely scientific level, our bodies, as weird as they can be, as odd as our bodies can be, they're also pretty miraculous. You know, there's the fact that we can go for a walk in the woods and smell the pine needles, or smell the rich loamy earth where the fallen leaves are decomposing, or like for me, on a warm day, going into the pasture and just smelling sun-warmed horse, there's a spice there, there's a scent there that just warms my heart. The fact that we can have that sensory input, the fact that, you know, we may be able to feel senses and how different textures feel. You know, a fuzzy blanket feels different against your arm than it does against your leg or your torso or your nose. There's the fact that our bodies work the way they do is pretty darn miraculous. And however your body works is perfect and right for you, regardless of whether your senses work differently than another person's, or your body shaped differently, or has a different number of limbs. That is perfect and right for you. And you have, again, are fully embodied, fully authentic, fully realized within that body. That's what disability liberation is all about. And when, you know, to tie it back to the question of authenticity, even though the current next few years may be very difficult for trans folk and for queer folk in general, the fact that somebody listening to this may be neurodivergent or may be considered disabled, like I said, this show is for anybody who sees themselves in any one of those categories or all three or, you know, just a couple of them. Just because I overlap and my intersectional experiences kind of lives in that Venn diagram doesn't mean you have to. And so the fact that we could all exist as our authentic selves and be whoever we are, happy and unapologetic and, you know, fighting the good fight, the fact that we can do that is such a miraculous and amazing thing. And each one of us will do that in our own ways. No, the way that I can do that is by helping you get in touch with your inner divinity, by helping you realize you're a spiritual person, by helping you realize that you are just as sacred as the rocks and the trees and a stream and the fish swimming in that stream, or even the little bugs swimming in that stream. You are just as sacred as everything in the world around you. And that is part of my authenticity, and that is part of the authenticity that I hope we all bring into the future, regardless of what it brings. And I just want to say one more thing here before I close, and that is we all live intersectional lives. There are those who want to erase that intersectionality, who don't want to look at it because it makes them uncomfortable. And I understand that. Like I said, I am so white, I don't even tan. I've got my arms and the back of my neck tan, and the rest of me just burns and goes right back to being white. I am from Irish and Scottish stock. I understand though. I grew up in a small Midwestern town. There were two students the entire 18 years that I was in school who weren't white, and they weren't in school in the same years together. And both of those students eventually went to school in the larger town. And I understand why, and I know why. There is a willingness. You have to be willing to look at other people's experiences. You have to be willing to understand that other people have lived lives different than yours, who see themselves different than you do. And you have to be willing to accept that what you were taught or what you learned growing up may not be true. That there is more than one worldview, and in many cases, there is no one true way. Now, there are certainly things, you know, that cause harm to other people and hatred on other people that are not good and not right and need to be called out. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, you know, how the people I went to school with saw that school, and how I saw that school, my guess, even though it was for very different reasons, we probably saw that school the same way. Likewise, when you start to learn about other people's lives, when you start to learn about other parts of the world, when you start to learn about other cultures, other religious thoughts, other thought patterns, there is one thing that is all the same. We are all human. We are all divine aspects of the universe made whole and made into matter and having a human experience. And what we bring to that human experience is what makes us, well, human, but it also is what makes this country and this planet just a beautiful tapestry of people and traditions and cultures and ways of life and ways of thinking of it. And I'm going to leave you with one thought, and that is, as a student of religious studies and as a student of world religions, there is a variation of the golden rule in nearly every major religion. And it's worded differently, but the intent is still there. If you haven't heard it called the golden rule, it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so I just kind of want to leave you with that I wish you authenticity. I wish you embodiment. And I feel like the more authenticity and the more embodiment that we can put into the world, the better off we're all going to be, because the brighter the entire tapestry will shine. Thank you. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.